For CRI News, this is Shane Bigham. More than 300 landmarks in 75 countries have been lit up in blue, the official color of the United Nations, to commemorate the 70th anniversary of the World Body. Among the landmarks taking part in the Turn the World UN Blue campaign are the Great Pyramids in Egypt, the Empire State Building in New York, and the Great Wall of China. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said the United Nations remains a beacon for all humanity, and the UN Charter must remain the guide of the international community. United Nations Day, marked annually on October 24th, is dedicated to the UN's global efforts and achievements since its founding in 1945. The 11th Beijing-Tokyo Forum is kicked off in Beijing with a focus on the long-term healthy development of China-Japan relations. More than 500 delegates are at the forum, including experts on the economy, media, and politics. They'll be discussing topics like security, trade, and culture. Launched in 2005, the forum is the highest non-government-level exchange mechanism between the two countries. The Chinese and U.S. governments have signed a package of agreements connected to energy cooperation. The deals are expected to help reduce coal consumption in China. The deals have been signed as part of an energy efficiency forum hosted in Washington this year. As part of the deals, the U.S. sides also agreed to help the Chinese government with its plans to turn Tianjin into an ecological demonstration city. The two sides have been holding regular meetings to discuss energy cooperation since 2010. Direct flights between Ukraine and Russia stopped at midnight on Saturday. The difficulties started after the Ukrainian Security Council adopted a resolution to impose sanctions against Russian airlines flying to the Crimea region. Russian airlines retaliated by adopting the same restrictions to incoming Ukrainian flights. Thousands of passengers who travel between the two countries will have to find alternative routes via neighboring states or take an hours-long train journey. The Israeli Prime Minister has vowed that his government will not change the status quo at the Al-Aqsa Mosque in East Jerusalem, a holy site that's long been a source of tension between Israelis and Palestinians. Benjamin Netanyahu made the statement following the announcement by U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry that Israel and Jordan had agreed on steps aimed to reduce tensions over the religious site. There have been waves of deadly violence in recent weeks stemming from disputes over access to the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. Netanyahu says Israel welcomes the decision to increase coordination between Israeli authorities and the Jordanian Waqfa that runs the site, aiming to ensure visitors at the site exercise restraint and respect the sanctity of the area. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov says the Kremlin wants Syria to prepare for parliamentary and presidential elections as Moscow intensifies airstrikes against Islamic State militants in Syria. Lavrov says the issue is being discussed with the country's president, Bashar al-Assad, who paid a surprise visit to Moscow this week. Lavrov also says Russia's Air Force, which has been bombing Islamist militants in Syria since September 30th, would be ready to help the Western-backed Free Syrian Army if it knew where they were. Lavrov gave the interview on the eve of a meeting in Vienna where a political solution to Syria's civil war was discussed. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said after the meeting that he expected new talks on Syria to begin as soon as next week. A group of South Koreans have met their long-lost relatives in North Korea's Mount Kumgang Resort. Saturday's event was the second round of reunions. The first one ended on Thursday. 254 elderly South Koreans, mostly in their 80s and 90s, met family members separated from them by the Korean War 6 decades ago. Only 12 hours of FaceTime have been given to the separated families through 6 two-hour sessions, including lunch and dinner gatherings in public and communal meetings. Only one private face-to-face will be allowed during the 3-day event. At least 3 people were killed and nearly 24 injured when a car traveling at high speed plowed into a crowd watching a homecoming parade at Oklahoma State University in the United States. The driver, who's identified as a 25-year-old local resident, has been held in custody. Information on the victims has not been made available. For CRI News, this is Shane Bigham.